Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Channing Crowder. Hawk off today. Got Alex Solano with us as well as we continue on here on this Tuesday. So much going on in the world of NBA free agency, and somebody who's been covering all of it, and of course want to get the reaction from an area in which you got some rumors surrounding the Miami Heat, the Washington Wizards, and everything going on. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. That's where we welcome Jerry Brewer, sports columnist for the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerry Brewer. Jerry, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm wonderful. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, and as you can imagine, South Florida very excited that Pat Riley's been able to make some major changes to the roster. Hassan Whiteside going to Portland. Josh Richardson is going to Philadelphia, and most importantly, Jimmy Butler lands with the Heat. What has been your reaction to that signing for Miami?
Well, Riley basically moved mountains to be able to create the opportunity for Jimmy Butler to come. And so that they needed a big time star. And now they have one of the top 15 or 20 players in the league. And also someone who fits their organization to a T with how competitive he is, defensive minded, but yet also skilled. So I think that considering where the Heat have been, just kind of stuck in place, I think that was a significant move. However, the concern is, what are they going to do either through player development or through another bold move to put another star with Jimmy Butler? Then they're really in business.
And you just brought it up where I was going to ask you. We act like this fit is perfect because we hear the story about, I remember the Minnesota story where Jimmy went with the backups and ended up whooping the starters. And then there's another story where Jimmy cussed out an assistant coach because he wasn't pushing Jimmy hard enough. So you're into Jimmy. Jimmy Butler's perfect for the Heat culture, as we call it.
Yes, he absolutely is. And can you imagine the conversations he and Riley or Spoelstra are going to have? You know, especially when he goes to Pat with a grievance, they can get after each other and it can be a good thing. And I think there are a lot of coaches that are too soft, a lot of team presidents, GMs, that just want the rose-colored glasses to be put on every time you talk to them. But I think that this is the right situation. I know for a fact that Pat Riley can handle this type of personality, but the rest of the team has to get better. I mean, right now with him, they're solid, and the potential for them to overachieve and maybe be, you know, middle of the pack in the playoffs in the East, the 4-5 type seed, that's pretty good. But you don't want to have a guy like him in his prime and not make a push for something better. And so you just keep wondering, what's the next move? Do they have to wait a year to do it? Or is it something that he's going to be able to pull off this summer? Or is it going to be even more complicated than that?
Jerry Brewer, sports columnist from the Washington Post, joining us here on 560 WQAM. With that in mind, Jerry, there have been some rumors out there about the Heat's pursuit of Bradley Beal. From what you know, what is the Wizards' interest in moving him potentially?
Their interest is minimal in moving him. I think you'd have to knock their socks off with a move, with a deal. And I just don't see the Heat having the pieces and the resources to do something like that. It's worth a call because they're in such a state of flux. Don't have a permanent general manager in place, but Bradley Beal and the interim GM have a great relationship. He has a great relationship with the owner, Ted Leonsis. And they're of the opinion that why would we get rid of Bradley at 26 years old when we would try to take all these drafted assets or young players or whatever and try to create another Bradley Beal? They feel like that's going backwards However, if you know the Wizards situation, you've got Bradley Beal on a max, who's eligible to be a guy who makes $30+ million per year on his next extension, maybe even more than that if he makes the All-NBA team and he's supermax eligible. And then they've got John Wall, who has a torn Achilles on a supermax contract that's just about to start. So $42.5 million average per year for John Wall. He's not going to play most of this season. And then you could potentially say, you know, it could be if Bradley Beal makes an All-NBA team next year, you're going to be in the same boat with him. Although they're looking to maybe re-sign him to like a three-year, $110, $111 million contract this summer. So right now, Bradley does not want to play copycat. He doesn't want to be one of these stars who's obsessed with going elsewhere. However, you just never know if you can put together the right kind of package. But for the Heat to do something that would get the Wizards' attention, they would have to bring in a third team, if not a fourth team.
Yeah, interesting insight there, to be sure. As you know how the rumor mill is. First of all, you know, the Heat make a couple moves, and all of a sudden, what's next? What's next, as you've already referenced? And so it's been interesting to hear and great to get your perspective on the Wizards side of things here. Jerry Brewer joining us, sports columnist in the Washington Post. Jerry, also wanted to ask you about your recent column. You write the title, "The Warriors with Kevin Durant were unfair, sure, but I'll miss them." And you acknowledge in the column that you're probably in the minority. Most people are happy they're breaking up to a certain degree. But what exactly will you miss about the Golden State Warriors?
I like their brand of basketball. I'm not sure that you will ever see two high-volume, high-scoring players fit together as well as Steph Curry and Kevin Durant did. Their willingness, it wasn't just about, oh, you sacrifice. A lot of it was, okay, well, I'll tone down my game some here, you tone down your game some there, and we'll be able to just go back and forth. Sometimes it's my turn, sometimes it's yours. I thought the Warriors were at their absolute best when Steph Curry would go off, and then KD would kind of flow in, and he's someone who can, normally when a player's getting 50, everybody else is watching them. Kevin's like, well, I can get mine too. And I can just kind of flow with you and vibe with you. I don't think – one of the reasons I wrote that column is I don't think they were appreciated for how good they were for basketball, because everyone was so focused on how unfair it was that they were able to put together a team with four All-Stars. But mind you, three of those guys were guys that they drafted, and they just did a good job of managing the cap, and then they benefited from – the salary cap surge in 2016. But I think people look at this super team era, and everyone in Miami can relate to this as well. They look at the Heat, kind of like the Warriors, and they think that those two championships that they won in 4 years was all about talent. And it wasn't all about talent. And I think you have to respect these are stars that didn't just get together. They figured out a way for it to work. And remember with Miami after that first year and D-Wade telling LeBron, go out and go be the best player. You know, stop submitting yourself to me. I will figure it out, which was an incredible move for someone to make who, you know, is the most popular or one of the most popular, athletes in South Florida of all time. To kind of submit himself for the team, and the way Chris Bosh changed his game, you just look back at them and you're like, oh, they had three Hall of Famers, three guys are going to be in the Hall of Fame soon. Oh, that's why they won. There's so much more to it in the dynamics of a team, and I think we need to give those guys credit and stop bellyaching that they were able to figure out a way to manipulate the system to get together. Their savvy and their willingness to do this is something that I think should be appreciated instead of lamented. And yeah, everybody's happy now that more teams have a chance, and that's great. But I think that the league has been elevated by the fact that they had to chase such a dominant team. And it goes back to the old, I have a family full of people who love to run track. And it was always, if you want to run faster, you better run against people who are faster than you. And it was kind of the same concept in the NBA. The fact that we had so much greatness and so much dominance, you had to come try to catch up to it. And I think now the league, 3 years later, is in a much better place because they've seen that standard of basketball.
And to your point with, like, we were down here with Miami when the Big Three came together, and everybody hated Miami for that. And then even when KD went to team up with Klay and Steph and Draymond, everybody hated him and criticized him. Is it changing? Because I don't see the criticism when the reports of Kawhi going to L.A., I don't see those same criticisms coming up. Like you just said, is it becoming the norm and people aren't going to criticize Kawhi if he joins AD and LeBron in L.A.?
Yeah, I think it's becoming more normal. Oh, but the Laker hatred would come out huge when Kawhi does this. Right? If Kawhi makes this decision, everyone will come out of the woodworks. And in some ways, their big three might be the biggest three that we've ever seen. You know, and that's even going back to Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Will Chamberlain. Just from the fact that LeBron has extended his prime, and Anthony Davis is at the start of his prime, and Kawhi Leonard is right at the start of his prime as well. And you could argue that those are the three of the top four or five players in the league. And we may have never seen anything like this. I mean, you have to go back and you have to really dissect and revisit some things. But there is a good chance that that is unprecedented. And so people will be upset by that if it happens. But I say, you know, run your teams better. And I also say, you know, those Lakers, if they create this situation, they're going to be so thin that they're going to be ripe for the picking early on, a la the Heat when they lost to Dallas. And that Heat team had much more around it, their big three, than the Lakers will next year. I mean, I'm thinking about Mario Chalmers was not a guy on a minimum contract. He was someone they had drafted. They traded Michael Beasley in order to create the cap space to bring in Mike Miller, a shooter, and Udonis Haslam, obviously, was a holdover. So they had a little more than what the Lakers. I mean, if the Lakers do this, it's going to be those three, Kyle Kuzma, and a bunch of minimum guys, hoping that guys like Rajon Rondo and Andre Iguodala, if he gets bought out in Memphis, decide to join. But they're going to be so limited. And especially when they go into the market and try to find two point guards, we all know that LeBron is the point guard of any team that he plays on, but you still need somebody who's going to be able to bring the ball up the court a little, make open shots, and defend. And I think the NBA might be a little too balanced for the Lakers to just dominate from the start like most people will expect.
Yeah, really good points. Jerry Brewer, sports columnist from the Washington Post, joining us here on 560 WQAM. With that being said, and with what you described with the Warriors situation, that team breaking up, what do you make of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving teaming up in Brooklyn and not going to the New York Knicks?
Well, that shows how much the New York Knicks have fallen. The aura of the Knicks doesn't exist to these young players because it's been so long since they've been relevant for a lengthy period. Everyone loves to go play in Madison Square Garden, but that doesn't mean that they want to go play for a franchise that's owned by one of the worst owners in sports. I think it should be a wake-up call to the Knicks, the team in your own backyard that has really struggled to gain its footing since they moved from New Jersey to Brooklyn, made a horrible trade with the Celtics. That sacrificed 4 or 5 years of what could have been a much faster rebuilding. They were forced to have a rebuilding mentality. And the Knicks always change their minds in the middle of doing things. And they decide, oh, well, we're rebuilding, but we could create this cap space in 2010 to go out and get LeBron. LeBron goes to Miami. Oh, we could create it in 2016 to go get these guys. Those guys don't come. And then they tried to do the same thing again. Guess what? Guys aren't coming. You need to rebuild your brand the right way. People always used to tell me, I used to have these arguments with Doc Rivers when he was the coach of the Orlando Magic. He said, you cannot rebuild in New York. And I would always say, Doc, they've been unintentionally rebuilding forever. They need to go ahead and rebuild this thing. And now I think they're at that place where they should be sufficiently humbled and just go on and build this thing around R.J. Barrett. He can be a really significant player in the NBA. Be patient and go after your max guys when you have a situation like the Nets or even like the L.A. Clippers, where you've got a team, the foundation of a team that's already a playoff team, and you can appeal to these guys. Because one thing about these stars, they are not stupid. You know, they are not just going to fall for the okey-doke, and they're not going to fall for the glitz and the glamour of your recruiting pitch. You have to bring something of substance to the table, because most of them are thinking about their legacy, and they're thinking about rings. And right now, you know, the world has never been a smaller place, with people being able to access and get from place to place so quickly. So they're not in love with just the big markets. The big markets have to come with something, and the Knicks need to put something more on the table before they expect to get these marquee players.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Jerry, one last question. This is off the beaten path, but we were talking about it before you came on. Did you at some point in your life own a Discman to listen to CDs?
Yes, I did.
When was the last time you'd say that you used that?
10, 15 years ago. I think the last time I moved, I found one and just laughed at myself. Like, man, you've become a pack rat.
But let him know, Greg.
It might even be like 20 years ago, for real.
20 years, so 1999 or thereabouts? Wow. Well, I was telling the story, Jerry, that I still have a Discman, and if I go on a flight, I'll bring a small group of CDs, and I'll use my Discman because I don't have any songs on my iPhone. I had an iPod a long time ago, and it broke after a year after I uploaded a bunch of music to it. And I was like, you know what? The Discman hasn't failed me. I know it's 2019, but I'm still going strong with that thing.
If you did that and I was seated next to you, I'd ask if there are any empty seats elsewhere.
That's what I told him, Jerry.
Like, this dude is just too weird.
I told him, better be happy he got a woman already, because he ain't going to get no date with no damn disc man.
Hey, that's the truth. And, looking back, there probably should have been a stipulation before you got a date. That question should have been asked.
Oh, man. So this is a requirement now?
Yeah. Got to, man.
Just like you had your incident with your disc man back in the day, if the girl's a little too big?
Yeah, man. I had a girl that sat on my disc man, Jerry, and I had to get rid of her. I said, you're too irresponsible. You sat on my disc man and broke my disc man and my CD. I had to dump her.
Is that a nice way of saying that she weighed too much?
This is the thing I'm trying to explain
to
Greg.
That was my hunch.
I leave some meat on the bones, Jerry. I can't have no little bean pole. I can't have no woman 94 pounds. I just need some, I'm 260 pounds. I need a little something to my woman.
Well, on that note, Jerry, we appreciate you joining the show. Great insight and everything, and now I've got to rethink my priorities with the disc man, but that's fine. That's a me problem. Jerry, thank you so much. We encourage everybody to read your work for the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerry Brewer. Thanks for taking the time this afternoon.
All right, anytime.
All right, there he is, Jerry Brewer joining us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.